Ladies and gentlemen, right now, I'm going to go back to the mid-50s when everybody knew this particular song. Ladies and gentlemen, the lady who sang that recording, which has become a timeless recording, is Gogi Grant. Miss Gogi Grant is on the line with me right now. Gogi, welcome.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Gogi.
And you're, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. And you're in California, right?
I certainly am.
Where, if I may ask?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Well, how's the weather in Los Angeles today?
It's been great. A little warm last week. Little warm, but it's really, it was a beautiful day today.
Now, what do you consider warm? Because
it was in the high 80s and low 90s.
Well, I had Sue Thompson on a few weeks ago, and she said it was 116 degrees in Pahrump, Nevada.
Oh my God!
116. You can't imagine 116.
Wow, that's what it was in the desert here.
Oh, okay. You didn't start out as Gogi Grant.
No, I didn't.
Your real name is Audrey.
I started my singing career as Audrey Brown.
Okay, but somewhere along the line, you became Gogi Grant.
I did. That was when I signed with RCA Victor Records, my very first recording contract.
Do you remember the day that it happened when your name changed?
You know, isn't that awful? Shouldn't that date be stamped in my memory? But you know what, Ronnie? It is not. It was sometime in 1952.
Okay.
It must have been the summer.
Do you remember who the person was responsible?
Oh, of course I do. His name was Dave Capps.
All right.
And he was the A&R man, the artist and repertoire man at RCA Victor Records.
And he said that Audrey Brown is not pizzazzy enough or something?
Wasn't catchy enough.
Catchy enough.
Was for disc jockeys to remember. And he's the one who came up with Gogi Grant. And you know what? He was right.
So what was your reaction when he first told you you're going to be Gogi
Grant?
Well,
you know, when I heard Gogi Grant, I thought it sounded very stagey and artificial. And it just rubbed me the wrong way. And I said to Mr. Capp, I can understand you're wanting to change my name, but, you know, why Gogi? And I said to him, do I sing like a Gogi or do I look like a Gogi? And he said, why? What's a Gogi? In other words, how do you know you don't look or sound like a Gogi? Because what is a Gogi?
You sent me a CD, which I have here, called Gogi Grant, Her Very Best. And actually, The liner notes indicate that he came up with Gogi in honor of his favorite New York restaurant, Gogi's La Rue.
Yes, there was a restaurant, a very popular restaurant. Actually, the name of the restaurant was La Rue.
Okay.
But the maitre d' was a man by the name of Gogi Chichinovsky.
A guy?
So New Yorkers referred to it as Gogi's La Rue. And Dave Capp, I was told much, much later, because he told me that it came to him in a dream. But I heard much, much later from more than one source that he was inspired by Gogi Chichinovsky at Gogi's La Rue.
Wow. Gogi, whatever the last name was you just said, I'm not going to repeat it. Gogi was a guy.
Yeah.
So you were actually named, you got your name after a guy.
Exactamente.
Exactamente. Did he ever find out that you were the inspiration?
I have no idea.
Anyway, you recorded for RCA, and you didn't have any major hits on RCA, but you eventually moved to Era Records.
Right.
And you had your first hit single, which was called Suddenly There's a Valley.
Beautiful song, written by Chuck Meyer and Biff Jones.
Was that song written for you, or how did...
No. When I signed with Era Records, they had selected a song for me for my first session. And they were very proud of these two writers, and they asked these two fellows to demonstrate some of their other material for me. And the first song that they did was Suddenly There's a Valley. And I said, would you do that again for me? It really caught my attention. And they did. They demonstrated it again, and I said to to the fellows at Era Records, you know, it's a very rangy song. It has a very wide range. And I said, I'd like to try this. And they said, oh, we were saving this for a male singer, thinking that it needed that big voice and big range.
Right.
And I said, well, I'd like to take it home and open my voice on it and see if I can do justice to the song. And if I can, I'd like to do this song. And that's how it came about.
You ended up doing it, and you had the original version of it.
I did, indeed.
There were other versions that came out by Joe Stafford,
yes,
Julius
LaRosa,
yeah, Mills Brothers, Patty Andrews, but yours was the one that soared and soared and soared to the top 10. We're going to listen to it right now. This is Miss Gogie Grant and the beautiful Suddenly There's a Valley. If anybody wants to know what's a gogie, that was it. That was the quintessential example. Suddenly there's a valley, and Gogie Grant is on the phone with me. This is such a joy to have you on the phone, Gogie.
Thank you, Ronnie.
That was a major hit, but it was kind of like the opening act for the one that became your classic, which is The Wayward Wind. And something occurred to me. Gogie Grant is alliterative, and so is Wayward Wind. Maybe that was part of it.
Gogie Grant? Think so?
Maybe. Gogie Grant?
That never crossed my mind.
Wayward Wind.
Okay.
I'm known for coming up with dumb things that nobody ever thought of. But anyway, what can you tell me about The Wayward Wind as far as your memory of it? It was not originally written as a female song.
Oh, it was written for a male singer. You know, it was written in the first person. I was born, you know. We were preparing for the second session after Suddenly There's a Valley. And one of the owners of Era Records call. I was in the offices to go over the material, and one of the owners called me into another room and pulled out this ancient manuscript. I mean, it was brown with age. And he said to me, "I know you don't read music, Ogie, so I'll hum the melody. You look at the lyrics and tell me what you think," which he did. And I felt a trend toward that kind of a song when he did it for me. And I said, "I think this has possibilities. Yes, I'd like to do it." Well, it turns out he had written this song when he was a college student at UCLA, Dan Lebowski. So we planned it for that session, that three-hour session. And it turned out that we had like 15 minutes left in the session to record The Wayward Wind. The song that was the center of the session was a gorgeous song called Who Are We, which made the charts, but not in the top 10, certainly. It was what we called a turntable hit. And The Wayward Wind we recorded in the last 15 minutes of a session. Think about it when you think about how long the singers today, the recording people, how long they take to, you know, produce their records.
In this particular case, you just didn't have time to worry about doing a lot of takes. You just did it.
I had to just do it.
And you did. And boy, did you ever do it. It became a number one hit, stayed number one for weeks, and then it also made the chart a few years later. This is Gogie Grant and that classic called The Wayward Wind. One of the things I think makes that record are those French horns. Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, definitely. Bum, bum. Buddy Bregman, I thought, did a wonderful job on the arrangement.
But what you may not know about the French horns, I found out about it, they were kind of like an afterthought. They were not in the original arrangement, and they were actually put in later, or the idea for the French horns.
Oh, you know, I didn't even remember that.
Was actually put in later. Boy, that record worked.
Good indeed.
Now, the record we're going to play right now is actually going to be... Well, the answer to the question is Ronnie Allen and Gogie Grant. The name of the record is Who Are We?
Okay.
Is that a good intro to it?
That was a terrific intro. Never thought about that. That was great, Ronnie.
Well, thank you. Thank
Very
you.
Very inspired.
Thank you. Other people may have different words, but we'll move right along. But thank
okay.
you, though. You're so nice. Who Are We was the one that you were thinking that was going to be the A-side, or was going to be the one that you spent most time recording at that session.
Oh, yes, definitely. And it was the A-side. It just didn't make the top
right.
10.
We're going to play it right now to prove to everybody that Who Are We was not just Chopped Liver. It was a great song. And it just so happened that it was eclipsed by The Wayward Wind, but... Folks, you got to hear this one because it shows another side of Miss Gogi Grant.
Who are we to doubt the things we see? A rose, a leaf, a tree. And who are they to dare to say our love can never be? Ask yourself and ask the friendly dove why bluebirds mate above. Then who are we to turn the key that locks the door to love? As sure as summer follows spring, as sure as Sunday church bells ring, as sure as oceans ebb and flow, such as we, just fools would disagree. So to deny a love so true, my darling, who are we? As sure as summer follows spring, as sure as Sunday church bells ring, as sure as oceans ebb and flow,
Gogi Grant.
Beautiful song, isn't
Beautiful
it?
Beautiful song. Well, tell me about a song called The One I Love Belongs to Somebody Else. There is a motion picture connection to this particular song.
Yes, there is, and I'll tell you the story if you want to hear it.
Absolutely.
The very first album that I recorded for Era Records after The Wayward Wind included this song, The One I Love Belongs to Somebody Else. Now I'm going to switch to Warner Brothers Studios. They were doing a film based on the life story of Helen Morgan, who was a very famous cabaret singer in the 20s and 30s. Anne Blythe was signed to do the picture. She was under contract at Warner Brothers, and she was a lovely actress with a beautiful voice. Still has a beautiful voice, as a matter of fact. She was signed to do the film because she's a singer, and she was under contract. Right? Good
right.
reasons.
Yeah, sure.
But it turned out that they felt, they meaning Michael Curtiz, the director, and Ray Heindorf, who was the musical director, it turned out that they felt that Anne wasn't cutting the mustard, not vocally, but I guess interpretively. You know, Anne sang all of the light opera, you know, the Rudolph Frimmels and the Victor Herberts, and did beautiful voice. But I guess they felt that these songs, the popular songs that Helen Morgan sang, needed a different kind of interpretation and sound. And so they began auditioning singers to dub the songs. And I learned afterward, I was not one of those singers who auditioned. I learned afterward that they had auditioned some 60 singers. Ray Heindorf was driving home from the studio one night and had his radio tuned into a local disc jockey who played a song called The One I Love Belongs to Somebody Else. But Ray Heindorf missed the announcement of who the vocalist was. So when he got home, he lived in the valley, and when he got home, he called the radio station to ask. They told him who the singer was, and he drove from the valley back into Hollywood to a very famous record store at that time called Music City, purchased the album, went home, played the album all night long, and went back to the studio in the morning, walked into Mike Curtiz's office and said, I found the voice.
And you were it.
Now, I learned this story when I went to Warner Brothers to sign the contract.
I love that story.
It's a wonderful story.
Well, we're going to hear that song right now that we're talking about, The One I Love Belongs to Somebody Else. And this is Miss Gogie Grant.
Belongs to somebody else. He sings his tender songs to somebody else. And even when I have my arms around him, I know hearts are strong for somebody else. The hands I hold belong to somebody else. I bet they're not so cold to somebody else. But it's worse to fall in love by yourself. The one I love belongs to somebody else. The hands I hold belong to somebody else. I bet they're not so cold to somebody else. It's tough to be alone on a shelf. It's worse to fall in love by yourself. The one I love, oh, the one I love, the one I love belongs.
Very well-known predicament, the love, the whoop, take two, the one, I got it written down here, the one I love belongs to somebody else, easy for Gogie Grant to sing, not easy for Ronnie to say. Gogie, the time has just flown, I don't believe this.
Oh, well, that's a good sign.
I think it's a good sign. I would have liked to play a few more recordings, but maybe we'll do a part two someday.
Okay.
I would love to. Gogie, thank you so much for joining us. Any last-second thoughts to our listeners?
Thanks, Ronnie. Just send my hellos to all my people in the Philadelphia area.
That's right. You were born in Philly.
I was born in Philadelphia.
Okay. Hello, Philadelphia. They're listening. Philadelphia's listening.
Hello to whoever cousins of mine are listening.
Okay. We're going to close with a song that I know you like. It's from the War Years, and it's a pretty song called I Don't Want to Walk Without You. And Gogie, once again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Ronnie, for calling. I love talking with you.
All our friends keep knocking at the door. They've asked me out 100 times or more, but all I say is, leave me in the gloom, and here I stay within my lonely room, 'cause I don't wanna walk without you, baby. Walk without my arm about you, baby. I thought the day you left me behind, I'd take a stroll and get you right off my mind. But now I find that I don't want to walk without the sunshine. Oh, why'd you have to turn off that sunshine? Oh, baby, please come back, or you'll break my heart for me. 'Cause I don't want to walk without you, no siree. Or you'll break my heart for me, 'cause I don't want to walk without you, no, sir.